If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
How many discounts does USAA Auto Insurance offer? Too many to say here. Multi-vehicle discount, safe driver discount, new vehicle discount, storage discount, legacy discount.
How many discounts will you stack up? Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/autodiscounts. Restrictions apply.
Starting a business can seem like a daunting task, unless you have a partner like Shopify. They have the tools you need to start and grow your business. From designing a website to marketing to selling and beyond, Shopify can help with everything you need. There's a reason millions of companies like Mattel, Heinz, and Allbirds continue to trust and use them. With Shopify on your side, turn your big business idea into sign up for your $1 per month trial at shopify.com/special offer.
Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and today on the show, we have Ashley Ray, who is the host of the podcast TV I Say, which she recently revamped and relaunched. I was a guest on it recently talking about all things reality TV, so I figured let's have Ashley on to Gabbing with Gib to just kind of continue the conversation. We talked about some Bravo and Housewives stuff, but she doesn't watch exclusively that or all of those shows, so we also talked about Love Island. We talked about that new Hulu dating show about virgins. We talked about Real Housewives of Atlanta, which we disagree on. I really liked last season. She did not. So we kind of like hopped around to different TV shows, kind of high level. It was a pre-recorded conversation because, you know, it was a holiday weekend and nothing much else has happened in the Bravo reality TV space in the past several days. So I hope you enjoy this episode, and I hope you all also had just great long weekends and sort of wrapped up your summer in style. I personally think that summer continues through September, but that's just me. I know that I still have plenty of weddings and travel coming up because of all of that. But yeah, I think you'll enjoy this conversation with Ashley Ray. And again, we have a couple more episodes this week, including an interview with a Real Housewives of New York original star. We're going to have a good fall here on the podcast. So thanks so much for listening. Check out Ashley Ray's podcast, TV I Say, wherever you get your podcasts. And please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib, wherever you're listening to this right now.
I want to gab.
All right. Today we're gabbing with Ashley Ray, who is a TV writer, stand-up comedian, and a pop culture expert. Ashley just relaunched her podcast, TV I Say, under Courier, which is one of the fastest growing values-driven news networks in the U.S. I was just on Ashley's show and had a great time. And so I figured, let's just do a swap. Let's repay the favor. Have Ashley on Gabbing with Gib. So Ashley, long time no talk. How are you?
I'm good. We had so much to talk about. I feel like we barely scratched the surface. So we needed this.
Yeah. And I think this some of today might be a little bit of a repeat, and then some of it's definitely new. So I think if people want to check out both episodes, I think they're kind of going to be good companion pieces, I would say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I feel like you're like me, based on our conversation, that you like to balance out reality with scripted. Like your TV diet has to have, you know, yeah, a bit of everything. Talk me yeah through like where you are right now and why and how you sort of strike that balance, because I feel the same
yeah
way.
I'm in a real just good feeling TV right now. Like I did Severance. I had a lot of shows where I had to think. I put myself through the last season of The Bear. It's time to just give my brain some time to relax. Love Island came on, Next Gen NYC. So now I'm just enjoying like Below Deck. I'm getting ready for the next Real Housewives. I'm just like, okay, I don't need serious. I'm watching some comedies. But I mean, and also I feel like there isn't really anything too stressful on right now. Like the no Gilded Age isn't super stressful. So I think it's a good time to just like sit back and dig into your reality shows because, you know, what's scripted? Like, or what? Yeah, I can't even really. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like August is a good month to really turn your mind off if you can. So I'm curious because you don't watch every Real Housewives franchise. And I want to know how you decide which ones to tap into, which ones not to.
I think so. Atlanta got me into it. So that's like day one always dedicated always. And Salt Lake City, I did have to be convinced. And now I'm obsessed. It's my favorite. But once people, I like explained like Mary to me, I was like, okay, I'm in. Like I was like, call like we are. Yeah. Okay. Let me get into yes that. And I kind of just follow what people say. If I get pulled into a certain person, I'll do it, but then I'll get kind of pulled out sometimes. I did the first season of the new Real Housewives of New York, but
okay,
just nobody said the second season was really good enough. So I kind of gave up on that. So
yeah, if we had known each other back then, I would not have told you to tap in. So I think you made the right move there for sure.
Yeah.
But like, did you watch Old Roni?
Yeah, I watched Old Roni. Okay. Yes. Actually, Kelly Ben Simone went to my high school. So
okay.
I had to watch that one. Yeah, she's a hometown hero. She comes back sometimes. It's sad because she is honestly one of the most boring housewives, I think.
Oh, you think she's boring?
I mean, she's like, fine. I guess I wish that we got more from her because she's from my hometown. And really, most people I feel like are like, I love her ex-husband. He's hot. And I'm like, well, yeah, yeah.
She's kind of iconic in like an unintentional way, almost. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like she didn't really ever drive her own ship on that show.
Exactly. And I feel like she has that in her. But then, you know, if I was married to that, like Niles Ben Simone, I also would probably just sit back and like, yeah.
So you said you were an OG Atlanta person. We'll get into Atlanta in a little bit. But what was your entree into Bravo? Was it Atlanta?
For Bravo overall, honestly, like it was more, I came in on like the Below Deck side of things.
Okay, got it.
Like I like to believe there's like pretty reality TV, which is like your Kardashians, your Real Housewives. Yes. And then there is garbage people reality TV. And that is where I thrive. That's your 90 Day Fiancés, your Hoarders, your Hoarding Buried Alive, digital addiction, like Smothered, anything like that. That was how I got into reality shows. So at first I was like, why would I want to watch any of that Bravo stuff? It's all fake. And then people were like, no, start with Below Deck. It's real. Like you'll see it. They, you know, it's not all just like glitzy and glam. And so I got in and I was like, okay, I like what they're doing here at Bravo.
You
and then
convinced.
Real Housewives of Atlanta. I was like, oh yeah, no, this is.
Got it. Okay. So that's wonderful. Something that's interesting because I feel like maybe you have a different answer than me, but you know, reality TV a lot of time gets characterized as guilty pleasure. I don't personally believe it's a guilty pleasure. I think it's just a pleasure because you wade in kind of different reality waters maybe than I do sometimes. Do you consider it to be more of a guilty pleasure because of like what you're more gravitating towards?
I do, but it's usually because something happens where everyone involved should feel actual guilt. Like I watched.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Like A&E had this show called Adults Adopting Adults. And some of it was like nice. It was like, oh, these people, their parents died when they were young. And finally, this old couple is adopting them so they can like inherit. It's like, oh, that's sweet. But some of it was disgusting and weird. Like there were clearly people taking advantage of people. This one woman was trying to like steal her teacher's husband having him adopt. And then there was this guy who straight up adopted a girl from another country, adopted her. She was 19 and pregnant. And he would like constantly flirt with her. The wife was like, what sign should we make? And he was like, how about one that says, I want a blowy? And she was like, what?
No,
and he's like, I'm just joking.
That.
And then she gets here. He kept her like locked in a basement and was like, you can't leave unless you do things for me. She ended up getting like saved. But in the middle of the show airing, this all happens and they had to take it off the air. They just stopped airing it. They took all the episodes off. If you like try to find them, you won't. They just never aired the final two episodes. And that's one where I was like, oh, we should all just feel guilty. Yes, we should all. I feel guilty for that one. But when it comes to like Bravo, no,
it never gets to that level for you.
No. Yeah. Bravo to me is like in the Peacock shows. I'm like, that's real human interest study. Like that is, I feel like a sociologist.
They're rich texts.
Yes. Yeah.
And I feel like that gets into, I feel like maybe we touched on this when I was on your show, but, you know, I have a complicated mentality around sort of like somebody once called it the moralizing of reality TV, where like people really try to like put their own, they watch it through their own values, which is very natural, but then they sort of really reject or don't, quote unquote, don't want to watch people who don't sort of fit into their own points of view on the world or perspective, or people who go against that or say something wrong or problematic, whatever you want to say it. And I'm like, I'm sitting over here and I'm like, wait a second. Why do you want to watch people who are all the same as you?
Yeah.
Two, the conflict has to come from those, from different perspectives being represented. And
yeah,
I guess I'm able to compartmentalize when I know somebody has politics that are different than mine. I just like, I can still watch them and dissect them and whatever. And I don't know. What do you think about this whole idea?
I'm kind of the same. I don't see it as any sort of indictment on like my own politics, because I don't watch reality TV agreeing with everyone I watch. Mm-hmm. And I don't have that sort of expectation. I don't need like reality TV to reflect my beliefs. And like some of my favorite shows, like Sister Wives, Platteville,
right.
Like I don't agree with those people. You know, I'm not like, I watch this because I agree with Cody. No, it's just entertaining. You know, I also love to criticize them. I mean, don't we watch so we can disagree and criticize these people?
Exactly.
So I think if we're all getting together to be like, hey, this person isn't good, we all agree this person isn't good, like, what is the issue? But I do think it gets a little murky when the platform itself is giving that person a maybe more positive edit or platform. That's when it can be a little like, okay, yeah, I don't know. Like, it's at least with TLC, a lot of the times I'm like, you guys should be saying, no, we don't agree with what this person is saying or doing, instead of being like, oh, come on out and like get
presenting it as such.
Yeah. And like, come out and get, you know, meet them and continuing to put them in, you know, promos and stuff. And it's just, that's when I get a little like, okay, now it's gross. But otherwise, I mean, I'm like, aren't we watching to see people that we disagree with?
Right. Totally. And like, for example, on Real Housewives right now, I know you don't watch Orange County, but there's this woman, Tamara Judge, who I'm sure you know about, who she like is like a huge, she's a long time Real Housewife. She left the show, came back, and she's a huge pot stirrer. Like, she like is really skilled at what she does, almost too skilled. You know what I mean? Because it's so clear what she's doing sometimes. But some people view her as like overstepping and, you know, like what a bad person and bad friend she is. But it's like, if she wasn't stirring this pot and bringing things up and whatever, like, where would the friction be? Where would the drama come from?
I don't watch OC, but she's one of the few people I've heard of, because it seems like she's one of the few people who actually creates drama or does anything interesting.
Yeah. And so I just think that that's not politics, but it's still like, yeah, you might be against how they act. But like, again, these are not normal situations. And so you have to act a little bit abnormally.
And I mean, personally, I don't watch any of the Housewives and go, I hope I figure out who I'm going to vote for right now.
Yeah. That's not
like,
you're looking at them for voting advice and stuff like that, I think you're
maybe any advice. I, I have fashion. I do pick up a lot of like, oh, I like those looks. Like yeah. a lot of that.
Yeah. Beautiful gowns. Okay.
Beautiful gowns. Catchphrases. Like that. Yes. That's what you want to pull from that.
Totally.
But yeah, I don't know. I think that's where maybe for some people it becomes a guilty pleasure because they
sure.
do want to. And I think we saw that with Love Island this season, right? Where people don't just want to be able to watch these shows and enjoy them, but they want to say, my favorite Hoda is also like the best morally ethical person and I support her and she's amazing and an angel. And they are just like looking for reasons to cancel and hate on the other contestants. And it's like, you guys, this is a dating show. Like you can just like a couple and then forget about them.
It's totally. Like, totally.
It doesn't have to mean more than that.
Well, so let's get into, I was going to do Love Island in a bit, but let's just get into it because I'm curious, like, so I forget, was this your first time watching? Or are you a long time watcher?
Oh, I just started last year, but I got into it with Six and then binged like three.
Okay,
through five.
Got it. So new, but a learned watcher.
Yes.
Okay.
But immediately was like, this is my thing. I'm in, started, I did the British version. I did some of Australia.
Wow. Good
I tried
for you.
To even, yeah. I even tried to watch the like Israel one because people were like, it is wild and could not find anything with English translations.
Okay.
And was just like, people were like, it's like one of the like most dramatic. And I was like, okay, I'm down to watch any version of this show.
If anybody listening has a dubbed or subtitled version
yeah.
of Love Island Israel, let a girl know.
People tell me it's one of the few seasons where the man picks the money. And I need to see that happen.
Oh, that's tea. Yeah, I would like to
yeah.
see that. Yeah.
I want to see all the seasons where the man picks the money.
Got it. You watched season six, which sounds like it was the sort of gold standard. Mm-hmm. It was the ultimate. I was not watching that. I knew I should have been, but I heard that it was so good too late. I couldn't catch up. And this season obviously follows it. And as you alluded to, like the fervor and the divisiveness around the show just like reached like really kind of like sickening levels. I was just like, how did we get here? Honestly,
yeah.
How do you think we got here?
I don't know. I mean, the last season, season six, people were really into it. That's how I got so into it. People were so active on like Reddit and in Twitter. Like mm-hmm. threads about it that I just kind of was like, who are these people? Wait, who is Serena? Oh, okay. And I actually came in pretty late and caught up on
good for
probably
you.
3 weeks of episodes, which if you don't know, Love Island airs like 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. Then there's like an app. It's a lot of television to watch, but we dedicate ourselves. And so I caught up, fell in love with like Serena and Cordell. There was something that was just, I don't know, where you felt like they were truly meeting people that they clicked with and were going to be friends with for life. Like Serena and Cordell, it felt like true love because you watch them fight, hate each other. You saw him fall in love with her when she's like just tearing him down. And that's when I realized like, okay, we're getting real love this time on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's really rare in these dating shows. I do like Perfect Match. It's all really fake. And you know, they're
right.
just there to be influencers. But this felt like a group of people who wanted to find the love of their life and move to a farm and be happy forever. And that chemistry made them all blow up. And now Beyond the Villa is about a lot of that. Is it as successful? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that realistic feeling just made more people fall in love with the show. And then season seven came and people were so excited, ready to fall in love with these people. And we got a cast that was more focused on social media, how they're being perceived, their followers. They were all already influencers, where
mm-hmm.
with like season six, I think a lot of them had different jobs. Some like Kenny, who everyone hates now.
Right.
But Kenny was like a software engineer and now he's an influencer. But season seven, it was just kind of all influencers. So they knew how to play the game and it was boring. So I think people, because it was so boring, tried to find their own trauma
mm-hmm.
by digging into their personal lives in really weird and creepy ways. I think people just had not a lot to grab onto on the show because Ace and like
Shelly,
they were kind of exciting, but felt way too scripted and clean and planned. And you just didn't have that realistic spark. So I think people were like, there has to be more. Let's dig behind the scenes. Let's go through every single comment this person has ever left on like any online media. Yeah. And I think even now the show's been off, the season's been off for like what, a month, and people are still tweeting happening live. Like people are still digging through Olandria's family's posts to be like, crazy. Oh, look what her mom, yeah, like look what her mom said about Hoda. It's like, why are we doing this?
Yeah, why are we doing this? Yeah, it's funny because, again, it was my first time watching. So I, like, personally didn't find it boring because I didn't have that point of reference. You know, like, yeah. I found the Hoda and Jeremiah stuff to be really fun, like, really good TV. And, like, obviously, Hoda is a very complicated figure. But I found her to be good for reality TV, you know? And I wasn't necessarily gravitating towards her, like, as, like, a she's my favorite one there. It was more like, it did feel like we were getting genuine emotional reaction from her, even if it was arguably manipulative and arguably, you know, XYZ. But then I totally agree with a lot of the other couples. But I think that what really kind of sealed it for me was that, like, this fan fiction narrative of Nicolandria, like, it came to fruition in a way that, like, the dominoes fell in that direction. And then, like, it maybe felt like they weren't going to, they were sort of stacking back up in the other direction, and they really fell in their direction. And it's pretty, it's pretty amazing.
That was what saved the season. I think Hoda and Jeremiah was a good drama, but any other season of the show, they would have been kicked off so quickly. I feel like any other season, people are more about who is here to find an authentic connection. And if you're causing too much drama where other people can't explore, you're going to be sent home. And this cast was more about, have you had the opportunity to explore? Because that kind of will create more drama. And also, they didn't want super strong couples. You could tell that once Ace and Shelly realized, like, we're going to couple up, and Olandria thought she was locked in with Taylor, that they were kind of like, okay, we got to stay the strongest couples. So you can do that by kicking off people who are in strong couples. So Hannah, who is a beautiful girl who could apparently fall in love with anyone in two seconds. Like, I truly was, I thought, like, she was going to leave with Charlie. I was so convinced she loved that man. I'm, like, sobbing. And then he's gone. And then we all, the licks start with Pepe. And then I'm like, you know what? I do believe her love for Pepe, too, though. And she still gets kicked off, even though she was a true lover girl who any other season would have made it to the top three. So that's when I got frustrated with this cast and was just kind of like, we're in it for something else.
You saw their game. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Nick and Olandria, that's when I was like, there we go. That's the old school,
that was the key.
Real love. Yeah, they did it. They didn't see it coming. And you could tell they had no idea. But I knew immediately. I was episode one. They called me crazy.
Okay.
When they did the blindfold kiss thing and he, like, paused before he kissed her, I was like, oh, he really, really likes her. And she does not realize it. And then she immediately goes like, who the hell was that? And I'm like, your future husband, girl. Your husband. And on Twitter, they're going, and on Twitter, they're like, do you have psychosis? They don't even know each other.
Well, now who's laughing now, honestly?
Who's laughing now?
Yeah. So, but why do you think Beyond the Villa has been such a snooze? It, like, I gave up on it. I stopped watching because I was like, these are long episodes. Nothing's happening. It's just about being influencers, basically. And, like, especially after, like, the Janae and Kenny stuff happened, I was like, okay, now we're going to have to watch them, like, be a couple after what we know.
It'd be so fake.
Yeah. And so why do you think it just, I think it's clicking.
It's not. I am still watching. Last night's episode was just, they kind of get into a fight at a dinner, and then they're all like, we don't want to fight. And then they go to a fashion show with Megan Thee Stallion.
Mm.
That's the entire episode. Personally, I will say that I am a big Rob fan. I love Rob. He was my boy. Like, no man in Love Island history has given us the performance that Rob gave. The crying in the pool, like you just sent two people home, like just the drama of that man. And without him in Beyond the Villa, what are we watching? People don't want to give Rob the credit, but Rob brought drama.
Yeah.
And now you just have a bunch of guys like Aaron is just very passive. I do believe that Aaron and Kaler are meant to be together and they're beautiful and that could be interesting. Mm-hmm. But the two of them are so clearly uncomfortable living this influencer life.
Yeah.
They both clearly don't want to be in LA. They miss their families. So it just feels depressing to watch. It's not like joyful, like Next Gen NYC or, you know, right. even
totally.
You know, they just, yeah, you're kind of like, can we just turn the cameras off and like give them some privacy? They don't need to do this.
Do you think that if they, let's say Beyond the Villa has a season two and they inject season seven people, do you think that would help the show or hurt the show?
I think it would help the show. I think it's a really kind of backwards thing where the like season six cast, they were great for Love Island because they were just kind of real people who, you know, weren't really internet famous. And they're meant for that kind of TV show. But something that is kind of more like a Real Housewives or a franchise, I don't think they're built for that. I don't think Kenny was meant to be in LA this long. He was meant to like meet a girl he liked and then go back to being a software mm-hmm. engineer that nobody thinks about. I think it should feel more like they're like kind of in the Bachelor universe than a franchise universe. And I think this cast, season seven, oh no, they are franchise people. Like they are here to be reality TV famous. They're like a little younger. I think they prepared themselves for that. Mm-hmm. And that's what they want.
Yeah, totally. And you can just see sort of the sort of industrial complex around them and like how they're really playing into the podcast appearances and the press days and the looks they're serving. It's like it's giving like seasoned reality stars or people who are really prepared to be in this maybe for more like the long haul. You know, it feels yeah. like that. You know, you watch you see Shelly and Olandria like looking fucking perfect, walking out of like 30 Rock in these incredible looks, and it's like yeah, that's what Real Housewives do, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And their outfits are good. Like, they knew immediately when they came out, get stylists, do this. And with season six, they were a little rough around the edges. It wasn't, you know, right. they didn't get immediate PR training. And this group, it is clear people were like, let me do some PR training before I even go on the show. I might sure. forget to delete my old Instagram yeah. post, but let me do some, you know.
Incomplete.
yeah, a little, maybe do a little, but it was... It just, as soon as they all came out, they had these like perfect podcast appearances lined up. And I think they know how to sell a long-term story. And I would love to see that, honestly. Like, I do want to see Ace and like Nick and Olandria and that whole crew.
Me too.
Like, kind of, yeah. like, yeah, in just a more in-depth look at their lives. Yeah.
I would tap back in. And you, I feel like you could still keep Serena and Cordell and some of those yeah, people around.
You can keep, yeah, like Leah lives out here in LA. So like she would probably stay in the show. But then you give people like Aaron and Kaler an out when it's mm-hmm. like they don't have to feel like, oh, you know, if I'm not in it, people are going to wonder
Let's
why. It's
keep
like
this train moving. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like they can come and just like pop in and maybe people like Rob will pop in and it'll be good again. And
in Ashley's perfect world.
yeah. And people are like, no, Rob is boring. Oh, he's so boring that he's on Traitors. That's why he couldn't be there because he's filming Traitors. Yeah. He's a TV
Block
star.
It. Yeah. Period.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. There we go.
That's my boy.
Don't chew on that, Max.
Cooper loves that chew, too.
Oh, now he's into Cooper's food. Wow, he is loving it. What do you feed Cooper?
Blue Buffalo Life Protection Formula. He never leaves a crumb. I love it because it's made with high-quality protein, nutrient-rich fruits and veggies, and wholesome whole grains.
Looks like we're switching to Blue. Blue Buffalo foods are made with the superior ingredients your dog needs to thrive. Can your dog food say that? Visit feedbluefood.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. Stop waiting around for the perfect candidate. Instead, use Indeed-sponsored jobs to find the right people with the right skills fast. It's a simple way to make sure your listing is the first candidate see. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs have 4 times more applicants than non-sponsored jobs. So go build your dream team today with Indeed. Get a $75 sponsored job credit at Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
So I know there's a new dating show on the scene that I have not been watching. I have definitely seen talk about it. And I know that you are tuning in to Are You the First, which is the dating yeah. show about all virgins.
Yeah.
And that's hosted by Colton Underwood and Caitlin Bristow, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
So tell me about the show and give me your pitch or not pitch.
Oh, I mean, so I feel that every everything now. Every network is trying to find their Love Island. They are all just repeating Love Island. They're like, can we do Love Island but with MILFs and young people? Can we like do Love Island but with boys who cheat? It is just Love Island with virgins. They're all hot virgins. And the first episode is truly like Colton Underwood being like, so is everyone here a virgin? We have to check. And but like, you're like, what are you going to do?
What does that mean?
And then they just kind of all like have to go down the line and like say why they're a virgin. And everyone kind of is just like, do we believe them? And I mean, there are like three guys in the show who you can tell are lying. Like everything they say, they have a little smirk on their face that's like, yeah, yeah. Yeah, when I've never, because I don't even know what a girl is. Right, guys? And you can tell that they are lying to be on the show. So the whole premise just feels empty. It's also weird because most of them are going, I stayed a virgin this long because I wanted to find the right person and the right one. And the dating scene is so hard. And then the rules of the show are like Love Island. If you do not couple up within 24 hours, you are single, vulnerable, and you will be kicked off. But in this, they truly go, you will be a virgin forever. You'll never, you'll have to leave a virgin. And you'll be our virgin sacrifice. That is what they call an elimination, a virgin sacrifice.
Oh, my God.
Of course they knew. And it is shot in the Virgin Islands.
Naturally.
Of course. Naturally. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. When they get immunity, it is a V card.
Oh, so it's really weird. It's really heavily branded.
It's heavily branded. And it's weird because you're just like, clearly these people are forcing themselves to have connections they don't really have because they want to stay in the show. So it just feels gross because it doesn't feel like the show even knows if it respects virginity or thinks all these people are losers. And then they also bring in bombshells, but the bombshells are also virgins. So there are bombshells. They bring in like super hot virgins, but most of the original people are like Mormon. And that's why. But then they bring in these bombshells who are like, this might shock you. I'm an OnlyFans model, but I'm a virgin. And so then it's like, oh,
that's
no,
why,
are you going to?
That's why they're OnlyFans. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's, are you going to go with the like kind of sexy girl who's still or the other girl who's a virgin? And it just all comes off as kind of gross. There isn't really an engaging personality like a Hoda where you at least are going, OK, we're getting drama. Mm-hmm. They're all just very polite virgins who are like, no, I really expect that you're also talking to Jake. So, you know, you guys have fun on your date.
Now that I think about it, it's like, this is a big generalization, but it feels like maybe the kind of like adult who has remained a virgin for these reasons isn't maybe going to necessarily be the most like, you know,
Impulsive, dramatic reality TV person.
Exactly. That's a good way to put it. And like, that was my other question, which was, does it feel religious? Does it feel like overtly religious? Do they talk about that? Because I almost feel like, because it sounds like, it feels like it's people who are judging them for being virgins or have made this show. And it's it almost sounds like they want to like force them to like have sex.
It is. There is kind of a laughing at them feeling. Like the girl who does OnlyFans, she kind of becomes one of the main, most popular girls. And she's making fun of all the rest of them because she's like, oh, I have like given a blowjob or done this. And the rest of them are like, I haven't done anything. And she's like, oh, you guys are nerds. Like, I didn't know I was coming here to like be on Nerd Island. And it's kind of like, well, that's mean. Like, why isn't the whole show supposed to be like, oh, we are being our best selves and our most honest selves so we can find our true love? So why am I watching her bully people?
Right. I almost feel like it almost would have been a better show or more interesting if they had almost taken the Love is Blind formula in that it was like conversation based, because I feel like I'd be more interested in watching the show about virgins dating if I really like heard about why, like if I like, because it would be more like a peek into their culture and their worldview, and less like gamified. And I feel like if I was actually learning, like that to me is part of the appeal of Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. It's like I'm learning stuff about a culture I know nothing about.
And
so I feel like if I understood their perspective in a way that wasn't like, you know.
Yeah. There are like loose conversations where someone will be like, oh, I grew up really Mormon and, but I've left the church or done this, or I was a missionary. But they don't, it's not on an in-depth sort of level that you get with like Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, where they're like, and that's why I didn't understand like my pleasure or this. And some of it is just kind of a lot of like new age spirituality type stuff where they're like, oh, because of my Capricorn rising, I felt that it was best for me to lose my virginity during my Saturn return, which happens.
Okay.
And it's so like, also, but it kind of treats all of those things as equal. So it's a bit like,
sure,
this person who has like a silly or not great reason is just as valid as this other person. And I will say the like most interesting part is that I do think very valid couples find themselves that wouldn't have outside of a reality show. Like there is this like Atlanta black woman who like hair done, beautiful black, who like clearly is there and is interested in this guy who looks like a basketball player, super hot black guy. And she falls in love with the nerdiest, like long haired, like white guy who looks like he has seen fish 50 times. And it has like this love is blind aspect where like people are able to click on something that they don't have in common with anyone else. So that part was interesting. But then the show itself just kind of goes, and isn't that gross? Like, ew, look at them connecting over this when isn't it clear that they shouldn't even be together? So it's a show where you kind of feel gross and feel like they're making fun of them. I do think a Love Island approach would be so much better with them actually in conversation or learning about their cultures. But TLC did have a show called Virgins this year that followed four virgins who are adults at different phases in life. Like one of them was 26, one was in his 30s. There was like a 47-year-old woman and a 55-year-old woman. And that was a little better because it looked at like why they grew up that way and the cultures that led them there. And just one of the women was just like horrible at dating. Like she married a guy she met online. And then when they met, they realized they didn't really like each other.
Oh gosh.
So even though she'd been married, she was still a virgin.
Okay.
So, and that was like a little more interesting. And I think if they had taken a more just kind approach, it would have been a good show. But you watch and at the end, they're like, did anyone even lose their virginity? These losers. And it's like,
Yeah, it's like it's not really landing. Okay, well.
Yeah, so I would say not a watch unless you really love bad reality TV.
Okay.
It's very clear. I think they thought they were going to be a success and it was going to come out weekly because they say things like, oh, and you'll find out like if you can wait. But they released it all at once. I think someone watched and said, this is not our hit.
So speaking of shows with sort of religious undertones, The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City comes back very soon for season 6. And I know that's one of the housewives that you do watch. And I'm curious, like, why, in your words, does Real Housewives of Salt Lake City stand out? Why is it sort of stand above the rest right now?
I mean, when the energy clicks, it just clicks. I feel like they are one of the rare casts that isn't afraid to kind of be seen in a bad light, I guess, or just they still feel, they don't feel as, I guess messy. They're still cool to be messy is like the best way to say it without making a bunch of people mad at me. Like I watch that one and I'm like, oh, do you have real issues in your lives? Like, I want to hear about like who stole, like what, it feels very, is like anyone could go to prison, you know, it, like real consequences. Whereas the other ones, I just think are like NYC was just very boring. It's people who want to present a more just clear cut, you know, you're not being shown a whole truth. And with Salt Lake City, I feel like, no, I am getting the dirty here.
Yeah, it's almost like they're down to be shown in that light because I feel like they're so good at moving forward and they know that like the dime will flip in 2 episodes or in 2 weeks. And then like, they're going to be friends with somebody else. Like they mix up their friendships so much all the time.
So much.
And it's like impossible to remember all the different permutations of the group. And so, I think they know that. They know that like their group mixes it up so much that like you can't even bother getting hung up on something for too long because.
Yeah. Because they all just are so, It's so messy that it's just like, who cares? Like, I'm like, are Mary and Angie even still going to be friends? I don't know. That's something like, but all the other ones you kind of know, like divisions are drawn, you know, and that's what keeps me interested. So it's one where truly I'm like, I don't know what we're going to get this season.
Right.
I don't.
And I like that about it. We mentioned Atlanta, which just wrapped its 16th season. And that season, a lot was riding on it. It was a big reset in a lot of ways for the show.
A lot of ways.
What are sort of like your top line takeaways from this past season of Atlanta?
No, we've made a lot of changes and no to most of them.
Really? Okay.
I'll like even just big picture, there was something about the way that the show was shot that just felt a little bit more focused on clubbing. And I saw some people say like it felt more like a Zeus TV show, which I was a little like, yeah, I don't know, something just didn't feel as, I don't know, getting pulled into like their family lives and learning about them as people. It just felt very shallow and a little bit like a Love is Hip Hop feeling to me, which I mean, I like, but that's not what I want from Real Housewives.
Yeah.
Yeah. From Atlanta. It just, yeah.
What do you think contributed to that the most? Like, was it Brit? Was it the newbies?
I think it was the newbies.
Kenya thing? Okay.
I think it was the newbies. I think a lot of the newbies, like, that's kind of the reality TV they're used to. I think, like, newbies obviously want to make a name for themselves. Mm-hmm. So you have to, like, kind of go big. And so it was a season where a lot of people were just, like, forcing themselves to go big in really annoying ways. I just felt like there was, like, a lack of substance. I was just kind of like, I don't care about these arguments you're just kind of creating to create drama. So, I don't know. I want to feel that real, like, these women hate each other and this isn't just, I need a story for right now.
Was there anything that you liked about it that you were like, oh, they did kind of put this train back on the track in the right direction or no?
I mean,
she's at a loss for words, everybody.
I mean, I honestly like gave up during a lot of it.
Wow.
And then like came back and binged some of it. I honestly don't even know that I finished. I don't know that I watched the last episode, actually.
Okay. I mean, listen, I understand. I liked the...
I mean, there wasn't even like a funny person, like a Cherie.
I'm glad they brought Phaedra back personally because I think that
she didn't make it
funny.
Phaedra, yeah. Phaedra, of course.
Yeah, and I think that one of the reasons why I thought it was more successful than you think it is I feel like the past like 3 years before that, Atlanta hadn't even been part of any conversation. Like nobody was really even talking about it. And even if people were talking about it in a way that was very divisive and like people were sort of arguing over the show, I at least felt as though it was it was striking a chord, whether that was a good chord or a bad chord, in a way that it got it to be part of the conversation, which I think like, if you're a reality show and nobody's talking about you, that is like the ultimate no-no, you know, like that means you're doing nothing right. And nothing that's like, at least again, making people feel some way. And you clearly feel like a negative way about it, but like, at least you feel something about it. I feel like it was so meandering before. For a couple years there.
That's true. I don't know. To me, like, I felt like Portia, she just was like deflecting so much and was just meandering all season. Yeah. So I felt I just...
You're totally valid. Totally valid.
There were a lot of changes that I was like, and like you said, a lot of newbies. So I am willing to give it grace. It's not a franchise I'm giving up on. Okay, I would never. But I am just a little...
Did you like Angela Oakley?
I need to hear some things first. I did.
Okay, good. Okay, that gives me hope.
I did, yeah. That was like... I'll say that was like the part I liked. Yeah, I liked Angela and Phaedra.
Yeah. Okay. Listen. Yeah. There we go. You some silver linings in there that we can.
And I do feel like the fans of Atlanta are so intense that I'm all like, I'm afraid.
It's intense. No, I get it. I get it. It's very intense to talk about. I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially this season with the Kenya thing, it like made it really kind of pressure cooker to talk about that show.
Yeah.
So I hope that next season they find more of the humor, honestly, because that's what Atlanta has historically done so well. It's just like, make us laugh, you know,
and make us laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. And entertain. Ashley, to end this out, similarly to when I was on your show, are there any other shows that you're watching or you just started or you just finished that you want to pitch or, make a case for before we sign off here that you want people watching?
I mean, should it be reality or
anything you want?
Anything I want. Oh, okay. I'm going to give it to Oh, there's okay. I'm gonna give it to Amanda Knox. The Trials of Amanda Knox. It just premiered on Hulu. I think they're by now. Maybe the whole season is out. Okay. But it is about the true story of Amanda Knox. It is really, really well done. It's aggravating. It really, as she was like a producer on it, so it really gets a lot of the details right about just the experience.
Oh, good.
Personally, I was someone who didn't know a lot about that case. I don't know. I was like in college when it happened and I was living my own life, Amanda. I'm so sorry. But as I was watching, I was like, I need to Google this. Like, did she do it? And just finding more out, I'm like, this woman deserves a gun. She should be able to like fight anyone she wants for the rest of her life. It's wonderful performances. So if you're looking for something that is just a really good, like a light drama, I think that's what I'd rate it as.
That's good to hear, because I feel like
there's too much.
There's not really a good show that sort of, you know, scratches that itch right now. And also, I was a little bit nervous about hearing about that show, that it would be kind of one of those like cheap, you know, recreations of a true crime, a big true crime story. But having
like a Lifetime movie level,
yeah, or just even like the one that they recently did about the like. It was Ellen Pompeo's show that she was.
Oh, I watched it that they did about Natalia Grace.
Yeah, but it looked terrible.
Horrible. It was terrible. And I
was scared it was going to be that vibe.
Yeah, I interviewed the people who did the documentary on Natalia Grace. I am obsessed with that case.
Yeah.
Such a good doc. And the show was so just incorrect about things. Every episode, I was like writing a full essay that was just like, and here's what they got wrong. And so I was a little afraid that they would do this with Amanda. But it's a case that I think has been reported on so much and so many of the details are out there. And it's so wild, like even after it was clear she was innocent, that they kept trying to convict her.
Right.
That they were like, we don't need to make anything up here. This is just an intense story. And it's like you can just kind of watch it, turn your brain off. It's not like, you know, some Apple TV show that's going to make you think too much.
And I've seen the main actress on Tell Me Lies, which is a show I feel
I love
up and down
her.
About, but I feel like she's a very talented actress and she has a star quality about her for sure.
Yeah, she is so good in the role. It's okay. I've been enjoying it. I stayed up until like 2 a.m. watching the first like three episodes that are
out. That's when you know that you were if you're staying up till 2 a.m. that's when you know
it's a good one.
Well, Ashley, I loved having you on Gabbing with Gib. I loved being on your podcast, TV I Say. Congratulations on the relaunch of it. Tell people
Thank
when
you.
And where they could listen to it. Do your plugs before we sign off here.
Yeah, you can follow me at The Ashley Ray everywhere. You can watch or listen to TV I Say wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can watch us on YouTube, youtube.com/@TVISay. Every Thursday, we got a new episode for you. We're talking to your favorite comedians, actors about their TV shows and what they like. So it's
Love
a good
it.
Time.
Very good. And
thank you so much for having me.
Of course. I'm so happy to have you on, and we'll do this again soon.
Yes, anytime.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gib on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gibsonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gib at Gabbing with Gib on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gib is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.